Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EARPOD1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Swinging a high drive into center field, hits at the wall, it is gone! Cassis does it again! It's gone! It's into the bullpen! This game is tied!
He swings and rips one to center field. It's high, it's deep, it's back, it's gone! Sale winds, he fires. Swing and a miss, strike three, it's over!
What's up? Welcome back to Play Tessie. It is episode 223. This is the official Red Sox podcast of WEEI. Remember, before we get going, hit that subscribe button wherever you get your podcast. Rate 5 stars. Find us on WEEI's YouTube channel. Hit the subscribe button there. Find the Play Tessie playlist there. Find all our videos there and hit the thumbs up button on all of those. And then find us on the socials at Play Tessie on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. Here with Sammy and here with Pat. Sox coming off a close win, which you can't take those for granted with this team. A lot of the close games they haven't won, they got this one done and a lot of good things to go with it. The news, obviously, since we last recorded is that finally Roman Anthony is in the majors. He's on the Red Sox. He's played 2 games. He got his first hit tonight, drove in a couple of runs on a 2-run double, made a really nice sliding catch in right field where he hasn't played much at all in the last month or so. Felt like a different vibe. I mean, I don't think any of us were at either of these 2 games, right? No one there?
Nope.
We're going to be there tomorrow or today as you're listening for the 3rd game. But you could tell on the TV, it was a different vibe at Fenway Park. The weather was bad, but it didn't really matter. People were into it. Roman Anthony gets that standing ovation before his first at bat. And you could tell. I mean, the ratings came out too. Is the highest ratings of the year for Nesson, and I mean, people are just excited for this guy. It almost makes me feel bad because like Marcelo definitely got hype, but it almost felt like when Marcelo got called up, it was all automatically onto okay, when's the next one coming? And now that they're all here, it feels like people maybe have let loose a little bit, and it's like okay. This is now. The future is here. We're watching these guys, and we're watching Roman Anthony, the number one prospect in baseball and probably the best Red Sox prospect, at least speaking for us in our 20s. Sammy, you can speak for the older generation, but this is probably the best prospect of our lives, and we're seeing it right in front of our faces. And honestly, I get the team has a long way to go to get back into it, into contention, but it is cool to see Roman Anthony, Marcelo Meyer, and Christian Campbell all in the same lineup in the major leagues in front of our faces, finally.
Yeah, definitely the best prospect of our lives, even for me at the ripe age of 30. The best prospect that we've seen for the Red Sox. And it was cool. I thought the first game Roman Anthony played, how Cora had the big three back to back to back. I love that.
Yeah,
I know the game didn't go their way, but still cool to see. They won Roman Anthony's 2nd game, and I don't really feel bad for Marcelo. I think the vibe was different with Roman Anthony because he was the last one, and it was like, that. This is it. They're all up. We've been talking about, oh, Christian Campbell's here. He made the team out of camp. Incredible. Marcelo Meyer, kind of, sort of a surprise call-up. I'll speak for myself. I wasn't expecting that to happen. And then the Roman Anthony one, it was kind of a slow build, a slow burn, if you will, of us being like, come on. Come on, it has to be any day now. It has to happen. Look at these numbers. He's hitting 500-foot home runs in Worcester. We need that in Boston. And then he finally gets called up, and the vibe was refreshing. is the way I'd put it. It was a refreshing vibe. I had friends who were, you know, casual Red Sox fans who I haven't spoken with about the Red Sox in years, texting me like, dude, finally Roman Anthony. And I'm like, you know who Roman Anthony is? That's amazing. So, yeah, good vibe around Fenway. I'm excited to get there today as you're listening. Yeah, man, get a taste of that new big three in Boston vibe. Feels good.
Pat, did you get those texts? I got those texts too from like the people that you don't talk to all that. Even non-Red Sox fans, I was getting texts from so many people. It's like, oh, here you go. He's here. Oh my God. Like, how good is he going to be? Tell me about it, man. Like, did you get those too?
Yeah. Yeah. I had a college professor slide up on my Instagram story and be like, let's go. I'm like, all right, dude, let's get it. No, dude, it's exciting. It's what essentially the last 4 years have boiled up to. We're finally boiling. The water's been simmering. We're boiling. Campbell's up. Meyer's up. Roman's up. And then, Sammy, real quick, I think the hype difference between Marcelo and Roman is like, obviously, Roman, you know, number one prospect, should have been called up weeks ago, all this. You got to remember it. Marcelo was a surprise call-up on the heels of losing a top three MVP candidate. So, like, it was
you could
like
say the same about this too, though. Not about the MVP candidate thing, but it is like you are losing one of your best players.
You are. But like, this was also like your marquee free agent, your top three MVP guy. Like, it was
a period of time too.
Yeah, yeah. Like, it was the lowest low of the season at that point, with like a shot of adrenaline. So. But I will say, before we kind of dive in everything, very cool post game for the people who watch post game. They showed Marcelo hugging Roman's mom and like having a moment with Roman's family. That's sweet, dude. That's awesome.
It looked like senior night. Like you're hugging your friend's parents. Yeah. Like you're taking pictures with like your buddy Joe's mom. Like it's just it's like a feel good moment.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, yeah, it's great. They won the game. That's what I really care about. But yeah, I love hugging moms, seeing your friend.
Would you say your friend Joe's started mom? On hugging moms.
Hugging moms, man. Hugging That's moms. What it's all about, man. I'm trying to be more like receptive to that kind of thing. Like, look, he hugged his mom. I feel like such a robot a lot of the time where I see that stuff. I'm like, cool. When's the next game start? But I'm trying to be like, yo, that's great. That's great. It's humanizing these guys.
Come on, Sammy. You're around these guys. You know them as people. They're people.
Yeah. Yeah. But I'm like a serial killer kind of fan. I just want to win the next game and move on to the one after that and then win the next one and then move on. And like, it's bad in my brain. It's weird.
I feel like for me, it's kind of like a mix of the two. When they win, I allow myself to enjoy the other happy things that are allowed to happen when they win. But like when they lose, if I see guys like yucking it up, I'm like, come on, man, I'm pissed. You go be pissed. Like you should go sulk. Like I'm sulking. Mm-hmm. But like when they win and I'm happy, it's like, okay, yeah, go hug the guy's family. Like these guys are basically like brothers at this point. I mean, I'm trying to think, like we have two bromances in this organization right now. And one of them is Hauk and Whitlock. And obviously those two have had very high highs, but also very low lows. And then there's Roman and Marcelo, and those two guys, it's just like they're the best of friends. They're the top prospects. They're, you know, the organization's success for years to come hinges on those two. Like it's great to see that they're that close. Like you want Jalen and Jason to be close, like Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown. You want those guys to be best friends. And it always kind of like irked me that, yeah, they get along, they have a working relationship, but they're not necessarily best friends. Anthony and Marcelo is the exact opposite.
See, I don't care. I just want the team to win. Like, I don't know. How quickly do you guys move on? Like, the second that game ended tonight, I was like, good. Okay, tomorrow, Bueller. He's got to bounce back. Zach Littell hasn't been great. They could win this series. Like, I'm so – even when they lose, I'm like, that sucked. Okay, tomorrow, you can bounce back. Like, I'm so quick to – on to the next one. I feel like I don't even – that stuff just goes over my head, I feel. It's kind of, like, psychotic of me and robotic.
Especially the losses stick with me more. Like it impacts my next day. Like the wins allow me to be normal the next day. And if they're good and they have a great win, it allows, like, I'll be really, really happy the next day. The losses, if they're like they are right now and they suffer a bad loss, like
I will say that loss, the loss on Monday night, that irked me more than most losses. And I'm not blaming it on the ump. I'm not blaming it on the ump, but the fact it felt like we didn't get closure. Like that was such a good game. That was such a good game. That was so entertaining. It wasn't perfectly played by either side. Both teams had bad errors, but that was such an entertaining game on Monday. That's the kind of game you want to show someone when you want to get them into baseball. And then that ump, whoever what fucking loser that was, just bones Romy at the end of the game. That would have been bases loaded, one out, two run game, theater. And I feel like we got robbed from a great ending. For some reason, that irked me a lot more than the walk-off grand slam against Milwaukee. I was like, God, that sucks. But this, because it was kind of out of their control, I think that's what really pissed me off. So that's unusual of me to feel that way, but that the Monday night loss, oh, that one got to me. The morning, this morning, Tuesday, first thing I thought of, I was like, the fucking ump, man. Come on.
It weirdly enough, like, and I just came off saying that I wear all these losses on my sleeve, but that last or the Monday night one didn't kill me as much because they were coming off back-to-back wins and Roman Anthony got called up. It's like, okay, like obviously I was still upset that they lost, but it just like the Milwaukee games, those were like, I was grabbing the rope. Like,
but it was momentum. It was like, you had a chance to win three in a row. It's an exciting game. You're not playing your best, but you're fighting back. Roman Anthony's here. The vibe is great. And then this ump is just like, no, I'm going to take it from you because I'm the umpire. Just irked me. If they lost, if that didn't happen, Romy gets on, bases loaded, one out. Whoever comes up next, ground into double play. That sucks. Hey, great game. I had a great time watching that. Whatever. Move on to the next one. But it's like we didn't get to see the ending. You know?
I thought there were some positives.
Pat, There were.
I think I can comfortably say I'm the worst of the three of us in terms of like wins and losses. Like wins, I savor every second before I go to bed. I love it. I stew in it. The next day, I am not kidding. This is not exaggeration. The second I open my eyes and roll over in my head, I think, can I have a good day today? No, the Red Sox lost. And I will.
Like, I do that too.
Like, people will bring up, like, people will text me throughout the day about the Sox. I won't answer them. Like, if people come up to me to talk about the Red Sox, I will bring up the Patriots. Like, I just shut it down until the first pitch of the next game.
And hey, how about Efton Chisholm? It's a mental illness. Efton Chisholm looks good.
Yeah, exactly. Like, that's exact. Like, I'm not kidding. I brought up Efton Chisholm last week. And, like, my... And like the big thing is like people pay the price. Like I'm not as social. My girlfriend hates me after Sox losses. Like it happens, but I can't not do it.
This is why we have a podcast. This is why we do a podcast about the Red Sox, because we're all kind of like the same sort of mental illness.
Who's Efton Chisholm?
Casual fan, dude. Come on. He's the next Wes Welker.
Gordo, you got some catching up to do. Undrafted free agent.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EARPOD1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
A receiver that everyone's like, oh, he's gonna
make. You're gonna know him by this fall.
Yeah.
I will. The thing with these Patriots guys is like half the time they're like you see the reports, oh my god, this guy's huge camp standout, and then like the week before the season he's cut.
Half the time, 95%
yeah,
of the time.
Yeah, you're right, Sammy. It is more like 95% of the time.
Dude, there was a video today of Efton Chisholm routing up a DB coach, and they're like, look at this guy move.
Oh my
and I'm like, that's a
God.
40.
Who the hell cares?
There we
oh
go.
My God.
There we
Who
go.
The
oh, shit. I have it on loop. Fuck, I almost nailed it.
But Exactly. People are like, look at this guy move. He cooked him. He cooked that guy. And I'm like, dude, he's a 40-year-old DB coach. I would hope a 22-year-old kid out of college would route him up.
How can you not love what Efton Chisholm is doing right now? He's Efton Chisholm.
I don't fucking know what Efton Chisholm is doing. Anytime I see an article or like a tweet about a Patriots player I don't know, I have to scroll right by it because my head has so many Red Sox facts in it that I can't afford to add like unnecessary facts about a guy who may or may not even make the damn Patriots team. I can't do it.
Yeah, I only know because my friend's group chat were like talking about Efton Chisholm, so I had to Google the guy. I'm like, this guy plays football?
You said Chisholm, and my first thought was Jazz Chisholm. I'm like, no, they said something else. And then I thought the Celtics owner. I'm like, no, that's Bill. It's like, who the fuck is Efton Chisholm?
Efton Chisholm sounds like a rare metal.
What's the Efton Chisholm of the Red Sox? Oh, Romy.
Yeah, probably this year.
I see what you're saying. Yeah, no, it's Romy, but last year. It's when Rob tweeted last out, Romy, don't sleep on Romy Gonzalez. And it's like, Rob, okay. But no, don't sleep on him, man. He's fucking great, dude. Romy Gonzalez?
Dude,
people need to get to know Romy Gonzalez.
I don't want to hear a single Red Sox fan complain about when the Red Sox face a lefty and Romy and Ref Snyder are in the lineup. Those guys both have OPS over 900 against lefties.
Dude, it's 950.
I don't want to hear a word. Not a fucking word. Everyone's like, why don't you play? Dude, do you want to win the games? You play the hot bat. Like, everyone wants them to be urgent, but also play the young guys. What do you want?
Go look at my replies, Sammy. I have a tweet out there where Cora basically said it to the media today before Tuesday's game. Yeah, like, when their lefties are on the mound, like, this is what we're going to pretty much said it. Right. And there's like 130 comments on it, all being like, fucking fire this guy. He doesn't know what the fuck he's doing. This fucking manager, this bum ass fucking manager. He doesn't want to play the prospects. Fuck this guy. And it's buddy, Marcelo Meyer had a low 700 OPS against lefties in AAA and is just learning the major leagues. Roman hit the AAA pitching. He hit the AAA lefties. So when Willie gets back and they're both playing, I'm actually open to – I would play Roman against the lefties and platoon Willie and Meyer. But,
it's crazy.
Rob Refsnyder and Romy Gonzalez both have 950 OPSs, and the Red Sox are multiple games under 500. Like, you have to win every single game you can, which means you got to put your best lineup out there, which against left-handed pitching includes those two guys every single time.
Also, I'm – so glad Lou brought this up two times over the last two games on the broadcast. He was saying, and this is from Cora, lefties, good lefties, do not play in AAA. Pitchers, they don't play in AAA. They play for a minute, and then they're right up to Major League Baseball because they're such a hot commodity. So not to take away from Roman Anthony, but I have to, the lefties he's hitting in AAA are not Major League caliber. Some of the righties he's hitting in AAA, some of those guys are major league caliber. Sure, there's way more right-handed pitchers than there are lefties. If you're a good lefty in AAA, you're up to the majors quickly. Chris Murphy just got to AAA. He's going to be up in 2 minutes. Watch. He will be up quickly. Zach Penrod, when he's up to speed, he'll be up quick too. And if they're not, it's because the Red Sox specifically have a surplus. But general, if you're a good left-handed pitcher in AAA, you are not there for a long time. And I'm in Lou again. Two times he brought this up, and I was clapping at the TV. Thank you, thank you, thank you, because everyone just wants to point. Look, Roman Anthony hits lefties just as well as righties. Sure, sure, he can hit lefties. Not taking that away from him. Different game in Major League Baseball, and there's a reason why the Red Sox, not just Cora, but I'll use him as an example, with Devers, Benintendi, friggin' Meyer, Duran, yeah. Casas. They didn't play them against every lefty right off the rip. Abreu, like they will. They'll play against lefties, just not right away. You don't want to set these kids up for failure. And so far, the Red Sox have done a so-so job at that. Yeah, could have been better. So why advocate for them to do a worse job than they already have? That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, and I think like the other thing too is people, like I tweeted out today, I was like, we're like 2 or 3 weeks away from We're like two or three weeks away from Duran, Devers, Bregman, Narvaez, Marcelo. And I just listed out the lineup when you have everyone healthy. If someone, I have idiots in the replies. Well, of course, you got Platoon the whole lineup, bud. So it's going to suck. Dude, Marcelo is your franchise shortstop. Roman Anthony is probably the face of your franchise in two or three years. They're just not never going to play against lefties. Like the other day, game three of the Yankee series, they're up comfortably. If they were in that game and a lefty comes in, yeah, that's the spot you let them hit. And you just give them the gradual exposure, build up A, the confidence in hitting major league lefties, and B, like kind of a left-handed hitting resume. Being like, he's through 15 at-bats this year. He's hitting 262. That's respectable enough. We can leave him in there for lefties. And it's not just throwing them into the deep water. Because like Lou said, like Sammy alluded to, good lefties don't stick around the minors. That is such a hot commodity. It is something that is so valuable. Derek Crochet didn't throw a minor league pitch. Like, Derek Crochet was up the same year he was drafted because he's so good. Those guys are just mainstream to the MLB. It's a pipeline. So, like I said, situationally, you expose them to major league left-handed pitching. Once they check all of Cora's boxes, whether it be, you know, hit 260, a couple of walks, X, don't strike out, X percentage. Like, once they can do that, they are in there full-time, 150-plus games a year. Until that point, just let them get their feet wet and hit the pitching they're comfortable with.
Or Pat, or like, let's be like, we're coming off of a nice stretch where the Sox have won what, four out of six. I don't know. They've won some games, and yeah, right now they need to win every game they can. But let's be honest with ourselves. Like, their playoff odds are right around 18 to 20%. If the team falls out of it, if they sell at the deadline, even if they buy at the deadline, and they're not in it in the last month, kind of like they were last year, like there's going to be plenty of opportunities for these guys to get full-time starts against left-handed pitching if the team doesn't succeed. And if the team does succeed, yeah, they play a ton of close games. It feels like every single game right now they're playing is close. But that's going to even out at some point. There's going to be blowout victories. There's going to be blowout losses, and they're going to get at-bats against lefties in those scenarios, kind of like Pat was saying. Like, they're not going to be platoon guys forever, especially Anthony. Anthony might not be a platoon guy in, like, a couple of weeks. Because, like, let's talk about it. Because Willier Abreu, they think it's going to be maybe a minimum stint. You can't necessarily trust a word they say with the injuries. So, like, dude, this is all hypothetical at this point. Like, hypothetically, if Willier Abreu comes back in 9 days, 8 days, whatever, if he does, he is, like, Roman Anthony is a better hitter against left-handed pitching than Willier Abreu. Romy Gonzalez will still play for Marcelo. I think Ref Snyder plays for Abreu and Roman Anthony gets full-time starts. Or maybe they start alternating off days or something.
What if you put Rafael Devers at first base and that would open up the DH? Never mind. Crazy idea.
I mean, crazy idea. I'm on board with Devers.
No, I know. If he's healthy, I don't know. I keep going back to, yeah, I don't know. If he's not healthy, I'm joking. Yeah, I don't actually. Yeah. I never really wanted him to play first. My contention was the fact that he wasn't open to it, but I digress. The more you look at this situation, it's bittersweet. We're kind of vindicated in saying that they should have traded an outfielder in the offseason. We got a lot of shit for that early in the season. Granted, I've switched which corner outfielder. I thought it should have been Willier. Now I'm kind of more like it should have been Duran being moved. Just fitting these guys in is tough. And their value, I would say, for Duran specifically, is certainly not higher now than it was in the offseason. But it's definitely to be a I don't know. Like, what is – I have no idea how Cora is going to handle it. I really have no clue, like, what he's going to do. Someone's going to have to sit. You're going to have some good player on the bench.
Let's take guesses at it.
Okay, my guess. Okay, well, who's on the mound? Like, is it Max Fried or is it a righty?
Well, let's say against righties first, because against lefties, that's a whole another conversation.
Okay, against righties,
So, okay, this is a weird take. If it's Garrett Crochet pitching, well, okay, here's my thought process. First thing I thought, if it's Garrett Crochet pitching, you go with Sedan Rafaela because you want to make it as hard as possible for them to score. You don't need as many runs. But then on the other hand, you could say put Duran in center, and then you have Roman and Abreu out on the corners because he's going to strike everyone out. So it's kind of like it's really going to be a day-to-day thing. I don't think you can say he's going to do X, Y, and Z when he faces a lefty or X, Y, and Z when he faces a righty. It's really going to be who's pitching for the opponent, who's pitching for the right. Like Brian Bayo on the mound. I want Sedan in center because if any ball drops in the outfield when Bayo's pitching, I'm terrified of that meltdown. But if it's Garrett Crochet and let's say he gives up a little bloop single that maybe Duran doesn't get to, Sedan would have got to it. Okay, it's Garrett Crochet. He can strike out the next 17 guys. I wouldn't be shocked. So, yeah, there's really no simple answer for what is Cora going to do with the outfield when Abreu's back.
The other factor here, too, is the easy answer would have been, oh, like you move Sedan Rafaela to shortstop and Trevor Story loses playing time. But guess what? Now Trevor Story's hitting as close to as well as he has all season. Maybe not quite what he's doing in that one stretch in April, but he's banging right now. So then the question becomes, do you move Rafaela to the infield and option Campbell, who's also been snapping out of his funk lately? It'd be kind of a weird time to send him down. It's just there's no easy solution. And to me, my thought process is you want to, like, Roman Anthony's up, you want to play him against every righty. Jarren Duran, you want to play against every righty. Willier Abreu, you want to play against every righty. I feel like if Sadon's not in center, he's not really giving you any value. So I'm perfectly fine with him on the bench against right-handed pitching. That's what I would do. Pat?
Yeah. I mean, I think it's right-handed pitching. You go, I feel like it's inevitable that Roman eventually gets to left field, but just for the time being, right field. So we'll say a couple weeks from now, Willier's healthy, Roman's comfortable out there. Your outfield's Roman, Willier, Duran in center. Against righties, against lefties, I'm keeping Roman in there. I might take Duran and Willier out.
Against lefties? Out?
Yeah. And then go ref, Sedan, Roman.
I can't take Duran out right now. Wait, so is Roman leading off? If Roman's leading off, oh, it's just so weird to have Duran. Like, Duran being traded and now Roman's the guy leading off playing left field is way different to me than Duran on the bench. I don't know.
That's jumping in the deep end.
Weird.
The other thing, too, is like, as much of a clusterfuck the outfield is, we cannot sleep on the fact that there's going to be a just as equal, if not harder, decision for the infield when Bregman comes back, especially if Story's hitting.
Well, that's another factor there because Bregman, I mean, I don't think he's coming back in like a week or two.
You think it's easier?
I think I don't think it's easy, but I think it's easier. I think you just put Story or Meyer at second, whichever one Cora chooses. Those are your middle infielders. Bregman at third, obviously. And then you have Campbell at first base and you have, Coro and Romy on the bench. They rotate in. Look, they're doing great right now. They're doing great. I don't want to take anything away from the platoon, the corner platoons, but long term in 2025 for the rest of the season, I'm saying you need those studs to get going. I think it's fine right now. And there's a lefty on the mound. You don't really have better options, but long view up until like August, you need your guys in there.
Gordo, before you go, Sammy, I'm glad you said that because I 100% agree. I think it was stupid to take the foot off the gas in terms of Campbell getting first base work, because I think that's where he inevitably ends up once Bregman's back. Because you're not sending Marcelo down. If Story's hitting or holding his own, you're not moving him off short. And obviously, I mean, no matter what, Bregman's at third. I think that's what happens.
I agree with you on that, Pat.
Unless he is still slumping, then you option him.
Think about it. Think about when did Campbell kind of start hitting again.
I know. But
the other thing is the question I have is when Bregman comes back, you're right, Bregman's obviously going to play third. And then you, at this point, Marcelo Meyer's in the majors. To me, I want Marcelo Meyer in the lineup every single righty. Like, I don't want to send him back down.
Yeah.
Unless he's like horrendously struggling, but I don't think he's going to. He's either at short and Story's at second, or he's at second, and then you have to decide what's better, Christian Campbell or your platoon of Abraham Toro and Romy Gonzalez. And to be honest with you, like, I fully believe in Christian Campbell, both short-term and long-term. It's going to be hard to match the production that that Toro-Romy platoon gives you. Like, that is a nasty platoon right there. That is an 850 OPS and above platoon right there. If Romy can be this 900 OPS guy and Abe can be an 800 OPS guy, like, it maybe 850 is a stretch. That's an 800 OPS or higher platoon right there. That's going to be tough for Campbell to beat out, and he's got to kind of prove it. And what do we think? Bregman's 3 weeks away? Four?
Like, gotta prove. That's a Pat question.
Well, they won't fucking tell us. They says warp speed, but you ask for a date and they won't give it to you.
He started a running progression last week.
Yes.
So last week, this week, I would imagine either the probably 2 weeks from now does a rehab assignment, next week back, so 3 weeks.
So, okay, I mean,
well, things can happen, you know, like Spear said.
That's
in the booth.
Total guess.
Spear was saying in the booth, like, it's a fluid situation. You never, someone else could get hurt, or, you know, things happen. We'll see. But I think when I don't think it was stupid to take the foot off the gas with Campbell. I can't say that because I gave Cora credit for riding the hot bat with Toro. But I do think they should resume that experiment once Bregman gets back.
When he's close.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't punt it completely. I was fine with when they rode the hot bat with Abe the Bull. I saw people calling him Babraham Toro. It's another.
Ooh,
good name.
I like that.
Ooh. It's good. Yeah,
Abraham.
I saw Carabas say that. I'm like, that is a good nickname. Babraham Toro. Is good. I like that. But yeah. So resume it. I would like it to be Narvaez a catcher, Campbell mostly at first, Story and Meyer middle infield, Bregman at third. Good luck figuring out the outfield. Good problem to have, though. Like we've said before, too much talent, way better than Abraham Almonte playing center field.
We don't have to go super deep in the weeds, but then, like, this same kind of situation presents itself again in the offseason. Because let's say, you know, Bregman doesn't opt out or they work out something long term. You have those same four infielders and Casas back. So then what do you do that? Like, it's
going to be not on this team next year.
Agreed. Gordo,
question for you. Have you, after seeing Roman live in Boston with Willier, when he gets back, when we get to the deadline, if the Red Sox are close to contending, have you at all come around on possibly moving Duran, maybe for pitching for this year?
If they're close to contending, I'm not trading Duran.
Fair.
The only way I would even remotely consider it is if in the deal you got not only pitching that could help you now, but Toro comes back down to earth and you get a first baseman that can help you right now too. Like, you got to improve in multiple areas for me to trade this team's spark plug.
So, like, what if, like, complete hypothetical, let's say Seattle calls and they say Luis Castillo and Matt Brash.
You say no to that.
I would definitely say no to that. I don't think that's close to enough for Duran. Castillo's contract is like a net even, so you're basically trading Duran value-wise for Matt Brash. Like, I'm not trading Duran for Matt Brash.
I mean, okay, I like Duran, but, like, he's got a 745 OPS, and, like, I know he was really good last year, but, like, come on. This team needs pitching.
You saw those BR trade proposals where it's like, here are the top five prospects in everyone's organization.
Oh, come on.
That's the worst. Matt Brash.
It's the worst. That's the worst reference possible. Hembo had a better one. I like Hembo's trades a lot more.
That one had Harry Ford in it too.
Yeah. That'd be great. It was Ford.
That changes it. It was Ford plus the guys that Pat said.
Ford, Castillo, Brash. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, that's...
I mean, you could win the American League, dude.
Yeah. If you have Crochet, Castillo back to back, like, you are in a outstanding spot,
dude. Then a 6-7-8 of Brash, Whitlock, Slayton, Weissert, Chapman.
And your outfield is Roman, Rafael, Abreu. You have Bregman. You have freaking Meyer in the infield. Campbell's hitting again. Story might be heating up. Then Narv is the greatest catcher of all time, other than Cal Raleigh called it. Yeah, dude. I don't know, man. I don't know. I'm not saying I want like Duran out. I like Duran. I think he's a good player. I just think that the way he's spoken about, it's like you take the 2024 season, not you specifically, Gordo, but people take the 2024 Duran. They're like, that's who he is. Where I'm like, that is the best version of him. And I'm not confident we ever get to that point again.
I know you're not saying that I say that, but the truth with Duran is he's probably somewhere, like even if he's what he has been this year, or just a tiny bit better, which if you go based off of the last month or so of Duran, it paints a better picture than if you take the entire season. 3.5 years of that, a super, super valuable asset. Leadoff hitter, plays multiple outfield positions, changes the game on the base paths, both
in a running game and when he's hitting the ball. If he has a 750 OPS, do you really want him leading off? Is that who you want leading off? 750?
Yes. Jarren Duran, with that speed, that game-changing ability, yeah, he's my leadoff guy.
All right, maybe. I mean, I like it now. I think it's working now. I just feel like this.
I'm open to doing it in the future. I don't believe in taking one of your best players out of the team in the middle of the season.
All right.
Yes, he's one of your best players. Come on, Sam.
Next year, will he be?
Fuck next year. I'm told you I'm open to do it in the offseason. I'm talking about this year.
I don't know, man. I mean, he's like a – he's good. He's good. I don't want to sound like I'm like shitting on Jarren Duran. I just like – and again, the thing with him, if he loses an ounce of that speed, he falls off a cliff because he doesn't have big power.
But he's not going to lose that this year. We're not talking about the future. We're talking about right now. Think about the best version of the Red Sox that we've seen the last year and a half. It's been when they run wild. Like if they take Jarren Duran off this team, I have no fucking idea what this team's identity at its best could possibly be.
At its best, it's been a 500 team. So that's not exactly selling you on it.
They had a stretch last year where they were the best record in baseball for a month. And they were running wild. That was the best version of the Red Sox.
But they finished 80. It's you can't. That's so generous of you. That's so generous.
Gordo, if let's say they cannot figure out a good outfield rotation once Will Year's back. You have to trade an outfielder not named Sedan or Roman. Who are you trading? Are you trading Willier or are you trading Duran?
Why do I have to trade an outfielder not named Sedan?
I'm just saying, value-wise, I think it's smarter to trade one of those two. But if you had to pick between one of those two, who are you trading?
I've said this before and I'll say it again. Fuck value. Like, this is a team in a win-now mode. Put your best lineup on the field. Who are your three best outfielders? It's Roman, Duran, and Abreu.
But you need pitching so badly. You need pitching so badly. Yeah, but with what?
Your deep as fuck farm system.
No, dude. Trade Duran.
You're gonna trade one of your best players in a win. If they're not winning this year, then I agree. I'm open to it. But if they're trying to win this year, taking away your leadoff hitter, not a good idea. Especially if they're good enough to get themselves back into contention where they're buying. That means they've been winning games. Why are they winning games? Probably in part because of him.
Gordo, he does not have a top 75 OPS right now.
I mean, you're arguing that we should keep Sedan Rafaela.
He does not, but Sedan's the best defense. He gives you huge value doing something else.
Yeah, and Jarren Duran also gives you huge value doing something else.
Duran has a lower OPS than Andrew McCutchen right now. Just saying. I don't think he's bad, but he's just the way he's talked about with Red Sox fans to me is like a little bit much.
You guys are missing the point, though, about what he does in the clubhouse. Like, that clubhouse is gutted if he is not there. You guys don't see it, but you hear guys left and right talk about Duran coming into being a leader. You guys are missing the point.
Joe is right. Joe is right.
Joe, you know who he's tied with in OPS?
Who gives a shit about stats?
Bobichet!
Hey!
Who gives a shit about stats? Leadership. Bring back Bobby Dalbec. They love Bobby Dalbec, too. The clubhouse was sad when he left.
Oh,
Oh man, no, but yeah, I get what you're saying, Gordo. It would be very hard to move the spark plug at the top of the lineup. When Jaren Duran is on, there is very few guys who are as exciting as he is. He's like Ellie De La Cruz level exciting to watch, fun player. We follow the story, the mental health stuff. You know, there's a connection from fan to player with that. I get that. There's a lot of things to like about Duran. Just thinking big picture, you take a step back. He's older. He's still valuable. How good is he going to be? Like, and I know you're thinking this year. I'm just thinking realistically.
Sammy, all the points you're making, I think, apply if you do it in the offseason. Like, I will hear you out if you say these things 4 months from now.
All right. We're going to relitigate this in the offseason. And if the Red Sox don't fucking win the World Series with Jaren Duran, I'm going to be like, Gordo, I fucking told you. You could have gotten so much more. You're like, well, they made it to the first round of the playoffs. And they got bounced. And that's great. Like, no.
No, two responses for that. First off, playoff experience is important for these guys. So if they make it to the playoffs, that is not nothing. And two, Jaren Duran's going to have a ton of value, whether it's 3 years or 3.5 years. Like, he's going to have a shit ton of value. You don't have to worry about it. Unless he sucks. If he falls off a cliff, then you could be like, fuck you,
Gordo. Like if he goes from a top 10 MVP finisher to a guy with a mid-700s OPS, you mean?
No, like if he finishes the year from now to the end of the year with like a 630 OPS and it's like this guy needs to be moved out of the leadoff spot.
What do you think you're getting for a corner outfielder who's like 28 years old with a 750 OPS? He has to play better than he is now. And by the way, he's striking out a ton. We talked about this last time. He's striking out a fuck ton. It keeps going down.
What's it? I'm going to check his Savant.
He struck out what, 3 times today?
Game. Yeah. He struck out. What is it? I'm looking. He struck out two times. The last 5 games, he struck out 2 times.
He's in the 46th percentile for strikeout percentage.
Well, update it tomorrow. It'll be 44th, and it was 49th last time. It's going. I'm just saying he strikes out. I hate talking bad about him. I'm just trying to be realistic and not be like, you know, Duran's great. Just being real.
46th percentile this year, 48th percentile last year.
You want a leadoff guy who strikes out more than league average? This is just none of the best Red Sox teams have had that. That's just
I'm not saying he's necessarily my leadoff guy long term. But if you trade him this year, like your solution is going to be put Roman Anthony in the leadoff hole. And like we keep talking about wanting to put these kids in positions to succeed. Having Roman Anthony lead off major league games a month after debuting is not putting him in a position to succeed.
I think he'll be fine.
You're talking out of both sides of your mouth because we talk about Marcelo Meyer hitting cleanup and we shout all over the Red Sox for doing
that. I think Roman's a different level than Marcelo is what I'm saying. I think Roman's a freak.
What did we talk about last episode about the pitching and the staff and development? What's the issue? You're banking on guys. You're taking chances on guys. You're telling me you're going to bank on Roman Anthony succeeding being a leadoff guy when you already have a stable leadoff hitter?
Whoa! Hold on.
Another good point by Joe, because I'm seeing a ton of people, and I think one of you guys even said it this episode, talking about trading one of the outfielders and doing it before the season. You're seeing right now why they were maybe smart to not do that.
No, the opposite. The total opposite. It's total opposite because you desperately need pitching and you have too many outfielders and they're all corner outfielders that hit left-handed.
We can rehash the same conversations over and over again, but you didn't know you needed pitching going into the season. Starting pitching.
Agreed, and I'm saying I was wrong for that. The Red Sox should have known that.
No, I'm saying reasonably I can't blame them for not knowing it when we didn't see it. Like
we said it. I just said the wrong guy. I said you should have traded Willier. I said this was like when you had a better first baseman coming up. You had Dahlbeck who was hot. You had a better player coming up, and you didn't sell high. I was like, why didn't you sell high on him? Could have sold high on Abreu. But now I'm changing which corner outfielder. Still same logic, but you know.
Think about it, Sammy. Let's say they traded Duran in the offseason. Willier is hurt, so now your outfield is Roman in left, Sadon in center, and now you're playing. Probably what, like Ref Snyder against righties now? Like they're being rewarded right now for preserving their depth. And people are not talking about it, but they should.
Dude, okay, so Duran coming off a top 10 MVP season, that gets you like a stud starting pitcher, in my opinion, with 3 years of, four?
I don't think it necessarily, maybe Duran made that trade.
Okay, do you think the pitcher you get in return is more valuable than this week of having a lot of outfielders while Williers hurt because you have good depth?
I mean, no, you're probably right on that, but it's acting with hindsight because I thought that Tanner Houck was a number two. I thought that Bayo and Buehler could be number threes. I thought Giolito could be a four. I thought Cutter was going to be healthy. Like, needing another starting pitcher was not on my radar at all.
Well, okay. Well, for me, it was. I was saying Dylan Cease. I was saying they need another starter. So that's why I was saying trade Willier. You have Roman coming up. Now I'm switching which outfielder? Trade Duran. You have Roman here, and Willier will be back.
When I asked you last week who would you have put in the bullpen if they'd traded for Cease, what was your answer?
I said I would have put Cutter or Fitz when the injuries started happening.
So, okay, let me rephrase the question. Who would your starting rotation have been? Five guys.
It would have been Crochet.
Player X.
Probably would have put Houck too. let's say Cease as the fill-in, or like the acquired pitcher as the fill-in.
So that's three.
And then who else was healthy? Buehler. Who else we got? Fitz. Well, no, I probably wouldn't have gone with Fitz. I probably would have had Fitz in AAA or the bullpen.
So you still have Bayo. You still have Giolito.
Oh, Bayo.
You still have
Bayo.
Cutter. Okay, so Bayo. Now you're putting Lucas.
I probably would have had. Probably would have had Giolito be like a long man because he's coming off the
elbow
surgery.
Not even giving him a chance to start.
Well, Bayo was hurt too. Bayo was hurt too, actually.
No, but this is going into spring training. We didn't know any. They maybe knew Cutter was hurt. But
well, going into spring training, I would have wanted more starting pitching than I needed. Like I said last episode, the Dodgers method.
They
have more guys than the. No, come on. They had depth. They didn't have guys. The Dodgers have guys.
Okay. They don't have like 6 to 8 guys, but they do have like,
that's what I'm saying. That's what I want.
Guys who can start games.
But don't you want to be like the Dodgers?
But
they have motherfuckers like up and down.
They need pitching. I'm acknowledging that now, but going into the season, I thought they definitely had a guy in Crochet. I thought definitely a chance that more than likely chance that one of Houck or Bayo is a guy. And then plenty chance that you could maybe emerge another three out of that. Like I thought they were going to have a one, a two, a couple of threes and a four. And instead, bunch of fives.
I think your logic checks out. Like right or wrong, I think your logic checks out. I think I just wasn't as confident in all the question marks. I thought that someone would emerge, but that's still just not enough. Like if you want to win the World Series, you want to win 85 games. I always think that's why I didn't say 90 wins at the beginning of the season. I thought they had a few more flaws, and then. To be fair, I thought the bullpen would be a big issue. It hasn't been. I also thought catcher would be a big issue. It hasn't been. So I'm not trying to rewrite what I said.
Shout out to Narv.
Yeah. Thank you, Narv. You saved my life.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EARPOD1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
But yeah, I just
Narv.
Whoa. I didn't do that. That was sick. Was that Joe or you?
That was me.
Whoa.
I put that on the board 30 seconds before we started recording.
I don't have much of a take, but I guess we can kind of use this as like a closing statement. I was fully on board with trading one of the outfielders this offseason. I was not necessarily in the camp that they needed another starting pitcher. I probably fell right between the two of you. I probably thought they had a one, a two, two fours, and a five, which grand scheme was still way off. But to Sammy's point, like just having dogs up and down, blah, blah, blah. Lou Trevino started for the Dodgers tonight.
Oh, so, whoa.
Oh. So, yeah, so like injuries are always going to happen. Like you're always going to wish you had the one more guy, but I don't know. It'll be a conversation that we have right around trade season about what's going to happen. But
they'll need to get at least a guy who's at least a mid rotation starter.
Oh yeah, minimum. I was talking about the outfielder being weak.
And maybe that's part of the discussion.
Who's injured for the Dodgers right now? Oh, my God. Gonsolin, Snell, Glasnow, Sheehan, Stone, Ryan, Sasaki. Holy fuck.
It's everybody, dude. It's crazy. But they're still going to finish first.
Yeah.
No team has as much starting pitching as they do, and yet they still end up like this every single year. Like, I don't know what they're doing, and granted, it works. Like, good for them, but...
I want Joe... Joe should friggin' pull up the episode where we talk about Cease, because I feel... I might be wrong. I feel like I got jumped by everyone on this show for saying they should get another starter. Maybe I'm wrong, but that's just how I remember.
No, I think you're right. I think we did jump you for that.
It hurt. It hurt.
Nah. Before we get to enough said, I do... I mean, we're talking about... starting pitching as if it sucks, and like it has sucked, but Bayo and Giolito both with Bayo with his best start of the year, in my opinion. And, it may not like he let in four runs, three earned. And so like, yeah, the stat sheet's the stat sheet. That was easily the best he's looked. It's easily the most efficient he's looked. So good for Bayo. And then Giolito, season high, 13 whiffs, made it through six innings, no earned runs, one unearned run. Granted, it was his throwaway to second base was the reason it scored, so might as well be an earned run, but terrific from him too. Obviously it's hard to get like super excited, say these guys should build on it with how their seasons have gone, especially, you know, with Giolito, every time he has a good start he has a shitty start right after that, so we got to see it again, but encouraging nonetheless.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if we're going enough said, that's kind of a good transition for what I was gonna
do. It
okay, so after the game, or after Giolito came out of the game on Tuesday, I said on Twitter, great outing for Giolito, six innings, one earned run. And someone corrected me and said, no, it wasn't an earned run. It was an error. And I'm like, shit, that's right. I thought it was an earned run because Giolito made the error. So in my head, Giolito made a mistake. And my brain was like, that's an earned run. Here's my take. I want to see if you guys agree with me. If a pitcher makes an error and it brings in a run, it should count as an earned run. And the reason I think that is because pitchers have fielding statistics and they're eligible to win gold gloves, just like every other position. I feel like that should count as an earned run. It's part of your job. You have to field your position, whether you're a pitcher, a shortstop, a catcher, etc. So, I don't know.
Agree, disagree? I agree, but they have to change the name of what an earned run is, because think about it literally. Like an earned run, it's like the other team earned it. So if the pitcher throws it away, yes, it is his fault, but was it earned? No. What's the new name? What should they rename it?
I would keep it earned run, because I always thought of it like the pitcher earned the run and you don't want to earn runs.
Oh, you're saying you earned that. Earned it. I always thought the other team earned that run off the pitcher.
No, because it's an earned run for the pitcher, you know? Makes sense? I might be wrong.
I always think of earn as a positive, like you earned something.
No, like if you're like talking shit to someone and they punch you in the face and they're like, you earned that.
I thought that was like a sarcastic thing. Like, yeah, you fucking earned that, bro. Fucking earned it.
What's the definition of earn? Let's see. Okay. I'm bringing up dictionary.
This is the definition of earned.
We're going to change baseball. There's no definition for earned.
Okay. No, earn. You have to look up the definition for earn.
Yeah, that's what I'm doing. Earn, obtain in return for labor or services. So that's kind of broad. That's not really positive or negative.
No, it's not necessarily positive. You're right. If the pitcher is earning it, then you're right. Then it should count against them. If that's the meaning, we need to look up a baseball dictionary now.
And then the issue with that is they would have to go back and change every fucking statistic or an error brought in a run and it was there. So it's unrealistic. Super, super unrealistic. My theory, I just think like that's how it should have always worked, but I digress.
Pat, you got enough said?
I do. I have a very, very quick one, and then I have a real one. The very, very quick one, if you are watching on YouTube, even if you're listening on Spotify, go to the YouTube. Go to the 38-minute mark, and you will see Gordo take the most aggressive sips of water you've ever seen in your life. It was like, have you ever seen the gif of the hamster and he just starts like deep throating the water bottle? That was Gordo. It was the craziest thing I've ever seen and no one else reacted to it. So when this is released tomorrow, I'm going to screen record it and send it to the group chat because it was nuts. It was
wait, Pat, if I want to find that video of the squirrel, what should I Google? Like squirrel deep throat?
No. What? No. Do not Google that. What?
I think they call him the sucking hamster.
Oh God, you actually had an answer for that?
No, I'm kidding. That was a joke.
All right, you got me.
My real one though is I'm a sucker. I bought the Red Sox City Connect shoes.
Oh wow, you got the shoes.
I did.
Dang, okay, I have a question for you, Pat. Are you brave enough to wear them to Fenway, knowing like when we go, knowing that you will have to step on dirt?
No, I don't wear any white shoes at Fenway.
Smart. I was going to try to discourage you because those are really nice shoes. I don't want to get scuffed.
Yeah,
you
know? No. Fenway. I keep the whites at home. It's all gray and black.
Yep. Same. Scuff proof.
All right. My enough said. Shout out to the Anthony family. Maybe the coolest baseball family I've seen. The dad's looking like he's like straight out of The Sopranos. The brother looks like he's like maybe like a slightly more broad version of Roman, but he's got like the double chain thing going with like the cross on the side, which is like, I feel like I've never seen that. Then you got like the mom and the sister, like, oh, I'm crying because Roman got his hit. But like, it's so wholesome and cute. Like, oh, the mom's crying. The dad is my king. I just love dads. I don't know. What the fuck is wrong with me? I love dads. Like, I love Joe Braverman's dad. I don't know. But Anthony.
I wish I had the soundboard right now. I wish I had this. I love dads. I just love dads. I love Joe Braverman's dad.
Put it on the board.
Wow. Call him Gordo. Hey, you know what? I have a take. So this kind of goes with what you were saying, Gordo. What if Roman Anthony's brother, whose name is Tony, what if he is like the LiAngelo Ball of the family? So like Roman's the athlete and then his brother is going to be a rapper.
What would he sound like if Anthony rapped?
He'd be like, talking about Gabagool.
Gabagool.
Italian. Yeah. Hey. Yeah, might make the best Gabagool. How you doing?
Salami.
More Gabagool.
Gabagool.
North End.
Gonna have you whacked.
Mike's Pastry.
Yeah. All right.
On that note,
that'll do it. Thanks for tuning in to episode 223 of Play Tessie. Remember, subscribe wherever you get your podcasts and find us on WEI's YouTube channel. Hit the thumbs up there. And then find us on the socials at Play Tessie on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. For Sammy, for Pat, for Joe producing, it's Gordo. For Play Tessie, episode 223, the first episode with Roman Anthony in the fold and on the Red Sox. Let's get a series. Please don't make us come back here on Sunday after the Yankee series upset. Let's be happy again. Let's make it three in a row. Thanks for tuning in. Peace.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Service is not available in all areas.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EAR-POD-1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.